Good to see everybody this morning. Good to see my grand boy sitting back there. It's been a good week to have family. Hope all of you have went on vacation, have had a good time on vacation. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer again as we just thank the Lord and just continue to prepare our hearts to listen to His Word and allow His Holy Spirit to take over. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You so much for the blessing of being Your child. The blessings, the benefits that come with being a child of God are so many, Lord, we don't have time to go through them all, Lord. Being a part of the body is one of those blessings. Being able to come together and worship You and give You the glory and praise that You deserve. Being able to enjoy fellowship. These are some of the things, Lord, that we've struggled with over the last several months, Lord. And we're so glad that we can be here together this morning. Thank You that we have the freedom to come and worship. Father, one of the true blessings of being a child of God is having Your Holy Spirit living in us. Lord, we pray that You would have Your way this morning, that we would not oppose the work of the Holy Spirit, that You would have Your way in our hearts and minds this morning, and that You would use Your powerful Word that is living and active, that is without error, that is truth for our lives, to penetrate and change our hearts, change our very nature to be like that of Yours. Lord, move in us, change us, draw us closer to Yourself, Lord. Encourage our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be back in John chapter 16 this morning. We're going to be in verse 33. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't have one, there should be one there somewhere in front of you. Turn to John chapter 16. We're just going to really focus on one verse today. Verse 33. Now for some time now, if you've been with us as we work through John, we've been looking at the details, several weeks looking at the details of Jesus' last night with His disciples before His crucifixion. And there's some confusion, there's some concerns in the minds of His disciples. There's almost a fear in some way. Jesus has taught them all these important truths, and He's helping them, He's giving them some things that are going to help them in the days to come. But some of these things have troubled them greatly. First, He taught them that what truth looks like about how to lead others. And he showed them by showing him his example of humility and servanthood as the King of Kings knelt down and he washed their feet. He taught them about the relationship, that close abiding relationship with him, that it was most important, that it had to be more important than anything else in their lives because without him they could do nothing. He taught them that after he left, he would send the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, that he would live in them, he would empower them from within to do all that he had commanded them to do. He also raised the bar in that teaching. He raised the bar on loving others. He said, you must love others as I have loved you, which meant sacrificially, unconditionally, they must love others. What troubled them probably the most was his declaration that he was going to die. He kept telling them, I'm going to die. He was going to leave them. He was going to go to the Father. This was hard for them to understand how this was all going to work out. This is not the hope. This is not the end they were looking for. On top of all that, he wanted to make sure they understood that if they're going to follow Him, if they're going to live according to His Word, same for us today, He said, you're going to be hated by the world. Because they hated Christ, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate His followers. And then in verse 16, in verse 30, they start to gain a better understanding of what Jesus is telling them. And so finally they say, now we believe. We believe in you. And Jesus asked them this question. He said, do you now believe? See, Jesus knew that they believed, but their faith in him was not complete yet. He speaks about this in his prayer for them later on. In fact, he knew one of them was a traitor, right? He told them, one of you is a traitor. All of you are going to soon fall away. And Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the dawn of day. The disciples could not grasp all of this at the moment. Some of it wouldn't even be clear to them until after his death and resurrection. It was hard for them to accept the idea that even though they believed, we believe in you, Jesus, that they would betray him, that they would fail him. Something we have a hard time even with today. We can believe, we can put our faith in Christ and still fail him. Jesus in verse 33 of John chapter 16 finishes off this teaching with his disciples. He helps them gain a better perspective of what's ahead. He brings about encouragement in his conclusion to help them persevere. He had just told them that he was going to turn their sorrow into joy. Their sorrow over what was about to happen to Jesus would later on bring joy in their hearts and minds. And they couldn't understand that. They couldn't see it right now. But we're going to focus mainly on verse 33 today, a verse that reminds us of some very important truths. And the first thing we're going to see here is that Jesus gives peace to those who put their faith in him. Let's look at that verse. Let's read that verse. Verse 33, John chapter 16. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now Jesus tells them why he had taught them all of these important truths, so that they may have peace. Not just any peace, we're talking about peace that comes from Jesus, his peace, his perfect and complete peace. Peace that the Bible tells us surpasses all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense to the world around us who is witnessing it. A peace that can give us strength to overcome the worst of circumstances. A peace that can bring about the strongest contentment in the midst of any situation. True peace from Christ is really about having all sufficiency in all things. When he talks about peace, that's what it means. That we find all sufficiency in all things in Christ. That's when we truly have peace. And there's only one who provides that peace. If you'll notice there in the wording, there he says that this peace is found in Christ alone. He said that in me you may have peace. Now if you remember from the first part of chapter 15, Jesus makes it clear that all of our spiritual blessings, all of the power we need, all of the fruit that we can possibly produce, all of our sufficiency is found in him. You remember the analogy he used? He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, right? If we don't abide, our source is in the vine. If we don't abide with him, he says, you can do nothing. If there's no close personal relationship with God, if you're not working on that every day, you can do nothing. And you would say, you know, I can do some things. But you can't raise your children up in God's ways. You can't love your wife as Christ loved the church. You can't respect your husband. You can't love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your brothers and sisters as Christ loved you. You can do nothing. Because those things, the power to do that comes from him. Peace is only found in Christ. He is the source. And without that closeness, without being close to Christ, there's no peace. When he says in me, he means all those who repent of sin and surrender their lives to him are found in him. He means salvation. That means salvation, peace, wholeness of life are only found in Christ. He wants to make sure that his followers understand that, hey, the days ahead are going to be tough, but everything you need for life is found in me. Don't look to anything else for peace. Don't look to anyone else for peace, because nothing else will satisfy you. They must keep their focus on Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if they're going to experience peace and wholeness of life. He lays out the other option here as well. In him there is peace, but then he says, in the world there's tribulation. In the world there will be tribulation. Our union with Christ brings about peace in our lives. Our union with the world only brings about tribulation. The world is hostile toward God and his children. We've already looked at that. And Jesus said earlier, the world will hate you on my account. The world's system of beliefs and philosophies, the evil one, and all those under his influence are opposed to the message of Christ and his mission to save the world. The world is a place of tribulation. It's a place of trouble, persecution, trials, struggles. We all know that. We all live in the world. In other words, this means that there will be serious difficulty for God's children who live in the world. Because we have this unique situation. We can be in Christ. We can be a child of God, and yet we still live in this world. We are still daily confronted with the struggles of this world, even though we are now citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here. But in Christ, there's hope. All throughout the New Testament, throughout New Testament theology, the theme of in Christ is used over and over and over. Because everything we need is found in Christ. To be a child of God is to be in Christ. The Bible tells us so many things. I'm just going to name a few of these. It tells us that there is justification, there's forgiveness of sin in Christ. In Christ we are a new creation, right? Eternal life is found in Christ. We are sanctified in Christ. There are spiritual blessings in Christ we find in Ephesians. For freedom in Christ, we talked about last week. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There's peace in Christ, as we see here. There's no way to be separated from God's love when in Christ. In Christ, we're all part of the one body, the church. In Christ, we have hope. That's just a few of the spiritual blessings or things that are found in Christ. But in the world, there's tribulation. It's why we are told, do not conform to the world. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the world. Do not submit or take on the world's way of life any longer. You're now a child of God. You're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Don't submit any longer. Don't allow yourself to compromise what you know to be true in the Word of God. That's why he reminds us in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. Because to love the world, he says, is hatred toward God. The two are totally opposite of each other. As we already know, why should we love something that is opposed to God and His plans? Why run after? Why love the things of the world when they never truly satisfy us? Hopefully that's why you came to Christ. You sought those things. You tried to fill yourself up. You tried to feel that brokenness, that hurt inside with things of the world, and it never truly satisfied you. So you turned away from that and yourself, and you turned to Christ, and you received His forgiveness, His peace, His eternal life. You found true fulfillment and wholeness of life in Christ alone. Why run after? Why seek after? Why hold to or cling to the things of the world? We're all born with a sinful nature, every one of us. We talked about this last week. Now that you are a child of God, there's a battle going on inside of you between the flesh and the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So therefore, every day we are prone to fall to the temptations around us. Even though He's given us power to not do that. In our own strength, we're easily taken advantage of by the evil one and the ways of this world. What does loving this world look like? Well, it could be that we have the greatest of intentions, but we fail Jesus by seeking after the things of the world. Putting our trust in these things, not being content with what God has allowed us to have, but going after other things to somehow provide us with temporary peace and comfort. We may forget who we are in Christ as a child of God. We forget that. We may forget what Christ has said about us in His Word and cling to something else. And so we quickly forget God's Word. We quickly forget His truth about who we are in Christ and what our future holds. And we fall into this place of constant anxiety, depression, and loss of hope. We may start to believe what the world says, the lies, the deception. We seek after these things to fill our heart's desires. Because we're not strong in our understanding of God's Word. We're not strong in our relationship with God. We are prone to believe the lies of the world. The influence of Satan over the world affects us. And then what happens? Wrong becomes right and right becomes wrong. That's what happens when we go after, when we love the world. There's tribulation. There's struggle. There's trial in the world. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, He says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" I mean, what can you give? What can you give in replacement for your soul? What would be worth it? What could you gain in this world that would be worth giving up your soul? He knew that the world would bring opposition. He knew there would be temptation. He knew there would be this lure to just pull us back to our old way of life. But God wants us to live in the world, to live around those who don't know Christ, so that we can be lights in the world. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Because I think this kind of describes it. We think about the world and the tribulation of the world. We think about the peace we have in Christ. Philippians 2:15 states this: that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. In Christ, there's no need to get caught up in the world. There's no need to be overwhelmed by all the things we see going on around us. Why? Because He has overcome the world, He says. He not only does Jesus want to give us peace in the midst of living in this world, living in the midst of tribulation and opposition. He says, I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world so that we could be overcomers. That's what we're going to look at. Let's read that verse again, verse 33. He says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The world's a tough place to live for all people, but especially for God's children. You know why that is? Because we walk against the grain of this world. If we live according to God's word and His ways, we live in opposition. We live lives that are contrary to the way of life of this world. Our way of life actually brings judgment on others. Remember, God uses us to bring about, the Holy Spirit works through us to bring about the conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. Our way of life, our holy living and living according to God's word, it actually makes people feel judged in the world. They see us and they're like, they feel bad about the way they're living. It's so different. Therefore, Jesus says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The words take heart there, it means to be courageous. It means to be of good cheer, to cheer up, to be courageous, to cheer up. Jesus wanted to encourage us and establish in our hearts peace. Establish our hearts peace in our minds and our hearts. So even though we live in this world, even though there's opposition from the world, He wants us to be courageous and be of good cheer because He's overcome the world. So therefore, we have nothing to worry about. He has overcome the world. Therefore, we have nothing to worry about. Now, how did He overcome the world? He overcame death. Death has plagued mankind since the very beginning when sin entered the world. Romans 5:12 states this. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that's Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. When Adam sinned and sin entered the world, sin brought destruction on the whole world. It brought brokenness to all of mankind. Sin brought about slavery and tribulation in this world. And in order to overcome the world, God had to come and break the curse of sin. God came in the flesh and He destroyed the power of sin. Satan, who held the power of death, was defeated. Jesus comes in and messes up Satan's plan. He conquered the evil one when He died and rose from the grave. And listen to what it states in Hebrews 2:14. He says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook on the same things. Flesh and blood. He came in the flesh. Then He says that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Lifelong slavery. Jesus came and took on flesh. He died in our place. He took all the sin of mankind on Himself, and He rose from the grave. He defeated sin. He defeated death, and He defeated Satan once and for all. Jesus overcame the world. and its destructive force of sin and death. And if you are in union with Christ, if you're a child of God, meaning you've surrendered your life to Him, you will overcome the world as well. You are an overcomer. You're an overcomer. 1 John 5:4 states this. I want you to memorize this verse. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. For this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We find salvation in Christ through faith in Him. It's through our faith that we overcome the world. Our faith in Christ who has overcome the world. We will overcome the world. He has overcome the world, so we will overcome the world. Death no longer has a hold on God's children. You're no longer in lifelong slavery to the punishment of sin, which is death. Listen to what it says. A very familiar verse. You hear this at funerals all the time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 54 through 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we should get an amen there. Amen. That is a wonderful thing. For the child of God, there's no need to fear death. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you too will rise from the dead to live with Him forever. Jesus wanted His followers to know that in Him there is peace and there is victory. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over tribulation, victory over the evil one, victory over this world. We are overcomers. As Paul said, he said, we may be afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. He says, we may be persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed. Because in Christ, although we suffer in this world, the promise of our future home in heaven is certain. And all the suffering of this world, it doesn't matter. We are overcomers, and we will live with Him and bring Him glory forever. Why get entangled in the things of this world? I mean, we have enough problems as it is. Without giving ourselves to the world. Why trade perfect peace in Christ for more tribulation in the world? Why should we of all people be overcome by the world when in Christ we are overcomers? The whole point of the book of Revelation. I mean, people get so wrapped up in that, but the whole point of the book of Revelation is that we are overcomers. That's the whole point. That we will rise with Christ, that we're on the winning side, that we will see the total defeat and destruction of sin, of Satan, and the evil of this world. We will overcome this world. And we will go on to live in a place, a new place, a new heaven and a new earth where everything is perfect. You'll have a new body. Everything will be perfect. That's what God wants for you. That's what He has for you. He has secured that for you, and He's waiting. He's waiting for us to be there with Him. That's our hope. We will overcome this world. And so this morning, be encouraged that Jesus overcame the world so that you too could overcome the world. Be encouraged that He wants you to walk closely with Him, that He wants to lavish on you His grace, His forgiveness, His power, His joy, His peace, and His victory. He wants to give you abundant life where you get to experience all the multitude of spiritual blessings in Him. We live in a world that has gone crazy. And we can all attest to that. We look around us and it's just chaos. But if we know the end and we look at things from a biblical perspective, we shouldn't be surprised by what we see. We should not be overwhelmed or filled with anxiety about the future because we know the truth. And what does Jesus say? The truth sets us free. In Christ, we are free to live in peace and victory even in a world of tribulation and struggle. We don't have to succumb. We don't have to be overcome because we are overcomers and we have victory. Jesus will fully, listen to what He does for you. He will fully equip you to fight the spiritual battle against the world, to have victory. He will fully equip you. He will empower you by the Holy Spirit that He has placed inside of you. You have all power, all the power you need. He will give you confidence and power through His Word. He's given us the Word. He gives us the whole plan. We can look at life through the lenses of Scripture, per se, and we look at the world and we say, you know what, I see a lot of tribulation and struggle, a lot of chaos, but I know the end, I know the truth, and this truth sets me free to live in victory. I am an overcomer. He will also give you an assurance of eternal life. Assurance of eternal life. You will never lose your salvation. You are assured of your salvation. You are assured of eternal life. It is kept in heaven by God, by His power for you. Listen to what else He gives us. Access to Almighty God. So whatever you're facing, whatever trial, whatever circumstance you're facing, you have full access to God. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through another person. You don't have to go through a saint. You go directly to God. You get to pray to the throne room of God where Jesus is there. He's interceding for you. You get to ask Him whatever you want. You get to talk to Him. Whatever's going on in your life, you have access to the God who created the whole universe, who holds the universe in the span of His hand, Almighty God who spoke and it was all created. You have access to Him. So whatever we're facing, if God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to what He gives you. And then finally, He gives you assurance that the battle's already won. It's already won. He overcame the world so that we could be overcomers. We should be the most encouraging people, the most joyful people, the most peaceful people on this planet because we know the truth. And the truth has set us free. We're no longer overcome by the world and sin and death and Satan and all of its ways. We have overcome that because Christ overcame the world. We've already won the battle. Don't get entangled in the world. Don't give yourself to the ways of the world. Live in this freedom. Live in it. Experience it. Don't oppose the work of the Holy Spirit when you wake up in the morning and you know you should spend time with the Lord, but then you decide that there's something else more important. There's nothing more important than that. Don't oppose the work of the Spirit when He wants you to come and be involved in discipleship or Sunday school or the worship service. He wants you to be here. He wants you to hear the word of God. He wants you to be changed. He wants to pour out on you spiritual blessings in Christ. He wants you to be an overcomer. And when we succumb to our flesh and we oppose the work of the Spirit, it's like we're being overcome by the world. It's silly. Because Christ has overcome the world, we are overcomers. And we no longer are subject to the rules of this world. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're slaves to righteousness. We're filled by the Spirit. We have access to God. He's given us the end. We know our future. It is secure. We are overcomers. As the worship team comes, I just encourage you, don't get entangled in this world and its lies. Instead, seek after Christ and be found in Him. Maybe today there's somebody watching, there's somebody listening, there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ. And you've never turned away. You've sought after things and you tried to fill your life up with things from the world, but you know that it truly doesn't satisfy you. You know there's no hope in that. And so maybe today is the day that you turn away from all of that and you turn to Christ and you say, I've done it my way. I've sought the world. It's not fulfilled me. And I understand today that if I die in my sin, I will be delivered to hell. Ever, forever separated from God. And today you find out, you know what? There's hope. Christ has died for me. He came. He overcame death. He rose from the grave and He's offering me forgiveness of sin and eternal life if I will surrender my life to Him. If I will believe in who He is and what He did, and I will surrender my life to Him, He's Lord of my life. It's no longer my way, but His way. If you do that, He will forgive every one of your sins. He will give you eternal life, and your future is secure. You are an overcomer. No longer are you overcome by the world. You're now an overcomer. If you pray and you surrender your life to Christ, you'll be an overcomer. But for those who are children of God, be encouraged. Receive His peace. Live the victory of an overcomer. We have so much to live for. We have so much to share with others. We have so much a witness to be
light before the world because we have everything in Christ. We are overcomers. Let's live that. Let's be encouraged about what Christ did for you. He overcame the world so that you could be overcomers. Let's live in that freedom. Let's live in that victory. Let's celebrate today. Even as you worship this, sing this song, let's celebrate the Lord and what He did for us on the cross. Let's worship the Lord.